Tango Tango Papa 1980, November 15, 2016.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you again from basically the same place. I was at the company yard, and so I came a couple of miles basically up the road, and now I'm actually in Carlisle, but Pennsylvania. So turns out I'm hanging out here until basically, I keep saying basically, I don't know why, essentially until tomorrow. And then, I have 4 hours and 37 minutes for available for today, and that's really not enough to do much with. So it's just easier to kind of wait it out until after midnight, and I'm sure they'll come up with something, and it'll probably be tomorrow when they do it. Right now it's 4:41 p.m. Eastern Time, so I think if they were going to send something for tomorrow, they would have probably already done it. So, but in any case, like I say, I was running out of time, and sometimes it's just easier to park and in that case, and just sort of let things catch up, because I have been keeping quite busy. So one of the thoughts that I've been that I've thought about a little bit lately, it has to do with the illegal immigration that's happened, and this is nothing new. It's been going on for quite a few years at this point, and I know there are people that you have the people that want to follow the rules. We've got to mechanically follow the rules. We have an emotional attachment to the rules. And then you have the people on the other side of that that are just as emotional, but they want to, the hell with the rules. We're all alike. Kumbaya. We can't make value judgments on any particular culture, except we don't want Judeo-Christian values. Those are the thing that we don't want, but anything else goes. We just don't want Judeo-Christian values. And so both sides are actually emotional, and I'm talking also about the people that are emotionally attached to the rules, the far right, that are just as fake and phony as the people on the far left. The two sides evolve out of each other. Neither one of them are right. Neither one of them can be reasonable. As long as you're lost in your emotions, as long as you're separated from your intuition, then you're lost. Sorry. So I can tell you what I would do. How would I solve the problem? And this is, by the way, I think what Trump is going to do. When Trump becomes president, I think what he's going to do is, and he basically, he's kind of really strongly hinting at it. What you have to do is you know, he's talking about getting rid of the illegal the criminal illegal aliens. That's a tip off right there. Get rid of the criminal illegal aliens. That's the big tip off right there. And then you know, there's upwards of 3 million of them that actually have criminal backgrounds. They've come to this country. They've committed crimes. There's upwards of 3 million. Get rid of those. Those are deported. Gone. Brilliant first move. Next, secure the border. Stop the flow of illegal people coming across the border. Very simple. Really stop it. Don't just pay it lip service, but actually do something about it. Third, is Trump going to deport all of the other illegal aliens, the Mexicans? You know, it's mostly Mexicans. In some cases they've been here for years. Is he going to deport those people? No, I think at that point, after he's gotten rid of the, and this is, by the way, what I would do, after I'd gotten rid of the illegal criminal aliens, get rid of those, they're gone, they're deported, actually secure the border in a real meaningful way. You have good border security, which we haven't had in years. What would I do after that? Would I round up upwards of 30, let's say 25, 30 million people that have, maybe in some cases they've lived here for years and they've got businesses and homes, and would I kick all those people out? I have to say no, I wouldn't. What I would do is either, you know, you could come up with some form of amnesty or some method, come up with some path for those people to become legal citizens. Now, as part of that, them becoming legal citizens, I would make them, there would be schooling in American history. They would have to actually be assimilated. The schooling would be such that they would be assimilated into American society. You know, I wouldn't just make it a blanket amnesty. That's a mistake. I would structure the schooling so as to make it as likely as possible that these people would be assimilated into American society. They would have to know whatever it is, you know, history and, you know, and this isn't rocket science. It's, there is a process, there's an existing process, things that people have to know, tests that they have to take. It's not that hard. You know, you could do it in the form of, sort of like a, you know, you have like a GED type test, general education degree. It wouldn't be that hard for them to be able to learn the history of the country, kind of the basic stuff about the country, and then pass a test. And if they really want to become citizens at that point, then they would they would have to make a little bit of effort, but either it's worth it or it's not to them. So I don't think Trump is going to kick them completely out of the country. I think he's going to do something very similar to what I just outlined. Because if he was going to kick them all out of the country, he would just do it all, and why not do it all in one big gulp? But instead, he's showing, hey, I'm really serious about this, by deporting all of the criminal illegal aliens. That shows that he's very serious about it. And then secondly, actually doing something about border security, something really meaningful about border security, that is the second step. And that also shows that now we have someone in charge that has resolve. We're really serious about this. And then thirdly, because we're not, the people are already here. They've already, in many cases, they're working. They're already contributing. Make them legitimate. But do it, there's going to be a little bit of a price. They have to want to, learn to something about American society, learn something about the history. They have to make an effort to assimilate themselves into our society. Is that too much to ask? No, it's not. Just imagine, you wanted to move to Japan, for example. Let's say it's you decide, I want to move to Japan. And I want to, just live in Japan forever. Well, isn't it then up to kind of incumbent on you to learn something about how Japanese society works? Learn what's offensive, what isn't offensive, what the taboos are, what's permitted, what isn't. Learn the language, or at least, on a rudimentary level, so that you can exist in that society without disrupting it. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Same way if you wanted to move to France, do the same thing. Or any other country you can name. So, I think that's what Trump is going to do. He won't really say. He's been a little vague on the third part of that, and I think deliberately so. Because, you don't want to, he keeps saying it over and over again, and it's true, you don't want to tell your enemies what your plans are, because then that gives them a chance to formulate an opposition to it, or a way around it, a workaround. But I think that's what is in store. The people that are already here, as long as they're not criminals, I think they're fine. I think they're going to have to go through a little bit of a legal process. And I think they're going to have to assimilate. They're going to have to make an effort to assimilate in order to gain a route to citizenship and then being legal. But I think that's just fine. That's how I would handle it. Get rid of the criminals. Deport the criminals. Secure the border. And then assimilate the people that are here into the society. And that I think, is a reasonable approach. I've got a fairly short, I guess it's about 5 minute Voxer comment from Joel. He started, he was in his car and he had, Joel, I think you said you might have gotten the Google Pixel, I'm not sure. But whatever he has, it's got the latest version of Android, which has, I guess, Android Auto kind of built in. And so it was about every 15 or 20 seconds when he'd start a new Voxer message, Android Auto was interfering with it for some reason. And so I'll spare you there were about four or five files where he kept trying to talk and it kept cutting him off, and then so finally he got he was able to kind of get away from the car, and then Voxer worked just fine. So, but I already listened to the file, and Joel is I know what he's talking about. Basically the topic I'm talking about right now, kind of the protesters and, the kind of reaction that some of the people are having. So, but I don't know. The some of the people are not, you know, the problem is that there's some people that are hysterical, and there are some people that really are hysterical. But the tragedy of it is that they're not reacting appropriately. Trump is a lot more reasonable than they think, but they've got this, somehow they've got this image of him that's been constructed in their minds, not only of Trump, but of conservatives or anybody that would dare oppose them. They have this carefully constructed image of that's false. And so they, you know, some of them are really hysterical and they think they're going to be, you know, the, I don't know what they think, you know, but they, some of them are just really crazy, you know, crazily hysterical. And, but you can't, the problem is when people are like that, you can't talk, you can't reason with them. It's not possible. You can't, when someone is hysterical like that, and in, you know, sort of a heavily emotionalized state, it really is impossible to reason with them. And so at some point, the, you know, the emotionalized state will either kill them, because it can, you know, sooner or later, you know, that your emotionalized state is going to cause you, depending on how heavy it is, it's going to cause you problems, physical problems, psychological problems. It really will cause you trouble. It's nothing to mess around with. Or they'll calm down and, you know, and then once somebody's calm, if you can, if they can remain in a calm state, then it becomes easier to kind of reason with them. But, the problem is even at that, there are certain trigger words that, re-trigger the emotional response. But the real problem, you can watch a lot of these protesters, the real problem is they've never matured. They're at an emotional, they're at an emotional level of about a 3 or 4 year, let's say a 3 year old or a 2 year old. And they're just throwing their little temper tantrums. And it's got to be their way. They've never matured. If they had parents, the parents, you know, and there's always a, usually a, you know, mom around or something, even if the, even if they don't know who the dad is, the mom's always around. And no, you know, they've never been in any kind of an environment, and certainly not the school system environment, they've never been in any kind of an environment that encourages them to mature, to become adults. It's the darndest thing. I mean, you know, it's, I mean, if you can just watch some, and it's remarkable these days because we, you know, because certainly because of YouTube, you know, we got all these cameras, all these people carrying around HD cameras with them all the time, and you know, recordings are being made constantly, especially at these so-called protest events, which, by the way, 50% of them that were arrested in Portland, over 50% didn't even vote. you know, and they're not even local people. They were just bussed in. Rent-a-mob. Paid for, ringleaders paid for by George Soros, who's still trying to tear the society down. So they've never matured. And it's rather tragic, but because we have YouTube and we've got all these videos, we can actually watch them. We can actually see these people. And in many cases, it really becomes obvious. Something is drastically wrong with them. Why are they crying? Why are they acting like a little baby? Throwing their temper tantrums in public. It's really remarkable if you think about it. Do you think our ancestors behaved that way? You know, the people that founded this country, what would they have thought? If they knew that just in a few generations, a relative few generations, that their offspring would be behaving like a little 2-year-old brat, what would they have thought? So. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play Joel's comment. So here is Joel.
Okay, Voxer keeps cutting me off when the Android Auto pops up. I don't know why it popped up the last time, but here we go. I'm out of the car, so hopefully it doesn't confuse it. Anyway, to go back to the election here a bit, I wanted to say something here. Just to slightly empathize with people here, I get why there is some concern for Trump. Most of it's based on some of the comments he said but not did, either before he ran or during his run. For example, the grab him in the pussy thing, which was 10 years ago. Now, the left has this weird thing here where they kind of believe that people can't change in some cases. And I don't know if it's the liberal mindset or the fact that they're not Christian, because Christians do believe that. I entirely believe, you know, the Christian faith says that it's never too late to be saved.
Okay, let me go ahead and interrupt. The people that are emotionalized on the left, and that's what we're kind of talking about, the so-called progressives, are, you know, the reason, you know, they're never consistent with their arguments because, you know, the comment that you just mentioned, if that was a leftist comedian, they would be praised. Or, you know, you remember there was something called the Vagina Chronicles, which, you know, I think it was some sort of an entertainment thing. They praised that. That was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But somebody that's opposing them, or that they think is opposing them, say something like that, and they'll go back, they'll dig back as far as they possibly can. Now, you know, but the point that I wanted to make is they are not consistent. The only thing that you'll find that's consistent with them is that they're emotional. They're, you know, very emotional, or even more emotional, or, you know, so it's just from bad to worse. But they're always looking for things, you know, they want to frame things in a certain way. So they're always talking about, you know, some of them, they're always talking about, how do I frame this so that it'll sell? How do I frame my argument? And so they're always, that's, you know, so they'll jump through, that's how come they'll jump through all kinds of intellectual hoops in order to try to frame something so that it seems to fit with what they think of as a, you know, they're trying to, you know, to appeal to a conservative. They're always framing things, you know, and that causes them to really overlook, you know, or standard logic. So they're always looking to frame things. Now, do they really, you know, there probably is a belief that, you know, once somebody's a certain way, that they're just that way forever. And I think where that, you know, that comes from, and it probably, on the liberal side, it probably really is true if you think about it. Because as long as you're emotional, and this could also be true of, you know, some right-wing hypocrite conservative, because there's plenty of those. If you're emotionalized, your intuition, so speaking in the last podcast, intuition becomes your enemy. Intuition is a guilty conscience. It's somehow it's hurting you. And got to get away from that. And so you're often, all what happens with it, you're sinning then. If you're separated from that intuition, you're in a state of sin. Very simple. All who sin are what? They're slaves. And if you're enslaved to something, what does it mean? It means that you're a slave. You can't give it up. And so, therefore, if you are a person that's in that state, kind of in, you know, a reprobate, sort of locked in to a condition of sin, with no hope of getting out, then you're not going to change. You can't change. No matter how hard you try, you may be able to swap one bad habit or one bad whatever it is for another, and that's about it. So, in that sense, they kind of are trapped. They don't really ever change. So, but in this case, but the case of Donald Trump, they're just, this is more of a, one of those framing things where they're just looking to frame it so that they, you know, oh, Trump is bad, you know, and that was just a way of sort of framing it to themselves, you know, themselves and to each other. That Trump is really bad, and, you know, we're going to jump on the misogyny bandwagon, even though if one of ours does it, it's not, you know, we'll overlook it. If Bill Clinton did it, well, then it's not misogyny somehow. And he ends up with all of the goofy leftist women in particular kind of defending him. By the way, last night I never had watched it. I'd heard of it for years. It's called The Clinton Chronicles. And I happened to run across that on YouTube. Now, what this was a documentary that, you know, a video documentary that was probably, I think it was released maybe in the, sometime in the 90s. And because I remember them, it being talked about, I remember it being, you know, you could actually, they were advertised it for sale on the radio. I do remember that. But it's on YouTube now. And even though it's talking about stuff that happened in the 80s and 90s, and it was actually released during the Clinton administration, even though it was talking about the 80s, it's well worth watching because it's a very good documentary as far as, you know, them presenting evidence, and they've got credible witnesses that they're interviewing. It's a series of interviews, and then they flash some of the documents up on the screen. Very worth watching to get a real sense of what the Clintons are like. Now, have the Clintons changed? No, they haven't changed. Now, in a case like that, they have not changed. If anything, they're worse than they were. But believe me, they're bad. They're way worse than we can possibly imagine. Unbelievable. But I suggest you watch that. Just search YouTube for Clinton Chronicles. I did post a link to it on my Facebook page, but you would have to scroll through a lot because I've posted a lot since then today. The easiest way to find that is to go to YouTube and just search for Clinton Chronicles. And as I say, it's a video documentary from the, that was sometime in the, I'd say the early 90s, and well worth watching. So anyway, we'll go back to the rest of Joel's comments. So here is Joel.
And in the cases when we're talking about that, it's never too late to be saved means that you can kill a person and still go to heaven. So, because all you have to do is repent of your sins, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then that's really all you have to do. That doesn't mean that you won't pay a consequence, but anyway, to go back to the early one, they don't believe anybody can change. So, they see that and they think, well, that's how he is. All right. Plus, there's also some other stories of before that, no convictions, but other stories of before that where he supposedly did something. Okay. Most of that has really just not come out up until when he said, you know, when that thing came out. So that's one. For two, the wall comments, which he's kind of already backed down from, and the comments on Mexicans and some of the other things too. In almost all the other comments that, you know, that I have knowledge of, they were all about comments he said during the election, in either debates or in rallies, whatever.
Okay, let me interrupt once again. Now imagine that you have a golden calf, you know, let's just imagine that it's a literal golden calf, and you look at that thing as an idol. And you worship that golden calf as if that golden calf is somehow it is going to just imagine that it's got some magic to it that you're assigning to it, you know, because we as people, we assign magic, you know, whether we admit it or not, we kind of do, especially to something that, you know, like a false god, we assign magic to it. So let's say you have this thing, this golden calf, and you think that it's bringing you all these wonderful things, and it's going to make your life better, and it's going to somehow get you a better job, or it's going to curse your enemies. And, you know, you kind of sit around, you spend part of the day sitting around polishing it. Maybe you have some candles burning next to it or something while you're worshiping it. And somebody comes out and says, you know, that you're, you know, that whatever brand of golden calf that you have, it's just a fraud. Why, that's just a fraud. Why are you doing that? Why are you, you're wasting your time worshiping that golden calf? Now, chances are, if you're really into worshiping the golden calf, and you kind of really do, you're getting something out of the sort of the ritual of worshiping it, you know, and kind of polishing on it, and maybe, you know, you get this little shrine set up with candles around it. You're going to end up rejecting. If somebody's trying to tell you, hey, that brand of golden calf, it's not going to work. It's not making your life better. It's not making you a better human being. It's not giving meaning to your life. But somehow, you know, you're probably going to reject that. And so the same thing is true of anything else that's being worshipped. And certainly, like, you know, these people are sort of have Hillary Clinton up on a pedestal. And somehow Hillary Clinton is going to save them. Hillary Clinton is their insurance that they're not going to be deported. Hillary Clinton is their insurance that they're going to be able to have all the abortions that they want. Just have all the sex that they want. You know, and get rid of just have all the abortions they want. Whatever it is, Hillary Clinton is the answer. And so anything that threatens that, Donald Trump, oh my God, we'll accept anything that he says, or that they say that he said, we'll accept anything, you know, that the negative image. If somebody's helping me build up my golden calf, you know, and protect my golden calf, then even if it's a false image, it doesn't matter. So they're going to take whatever, you know, anything they can and sort of infer that somehow that, you know, that you know, Trump's going to come after him somehow, or, you know, whatever it is. Now, I personally think they don't have that much to worry about. Unless they're a criminal, illegal alien, I don't think they have a whole lot to worry about. You know, if it's a Mexican, unless they're a criminal and they got a criminal record, they don't have a whole lot to worry about. As long as they're productive, as long as they're producers, I think there's a really good chance they're going to get to stay. They're going to get to become Americans. They're going to have a chance to assimilate into American society, a legitimate chance. But, you know, kind of back to the original point that I wanted to make. Hillary, you know, the whole Hillary presidency, it's kind of almost, if you just substitute, you know, maybe an actual golden calf, you know, and then you can kind of understand what people will do to try to protect their golden calf. Now, the golden calf doesn't have to be a literal golden calf that you make a shrine to in your, you know, in your house. Or let's say you have a shrine in your living room, you know, with the golden calf, and then, you know, with all the candles around it and what have you. It wouldn't have to be that. Could be anything. Could be your Apple computer. It could be your iPhone. It could be the car in your driveway. Could be your television set. It could even be a toothpick. You could make a whole ritual out of a toothpick. A whole religious ritual. It could be a golden toothpick. You could have a whole cult based around golden toothpicks. You really could. All you'd have to do is just structure it properly. So, but the reactions that a lot of people are having are irrational. They are hysterical. There's no question about it. You know, the hysteria is not it's not fake. It's real hysteria. Now, it's easy to kind of make fun of it because it's so absurd to see adults kind of reacting on the emotional level of a two-year-old throwing a temper tantrum. It's quite shocking. If you think about that soberly, in a, you know, kind of a sober mindset, that's quite shocking. But they are having real hysteria. It is real hysteria. And so anyway, I could go on talking. Let's go ahead and listen to the rest of Joel's comment.
Okay. And each of those, they seemed like they were not serious things. To me, when I've heard the recordings, they sounded like stuff that he said in jest. Now, whether it is true or not, I don't know. To me, I don't really think they're true. Okay? And I don't think he really meant anything by that. They've been confused where he said deporting illegal immigrants to say deporting immigrants. Well, he didn't say deport all immigrants. He said deport illegal ones, ones who aren't here legally, which any other country would do. So then I go back to all the good he has done. I've seen tons of good. I've seen more good than bad as of late. And I think, like you, I kind of think he is the right person. But to me, even if he did come out and apologize for some of those comments, and I think he started to, but I don't know if they're going to accept it. You know, there's talks of CalExit. That's California exiting the union. Well, there's lots that has to happen for that to happen. And I don't think the state realizes that, or at least the people that are trying to do it. You know, they don't realize how much the federal government does for you, which is an awful lot nowadays. But what it all boils down to is eventually, to me, this may end up being like Occupy Wall Street was and some of the other silly protests where it just kind of runs out of steam. And they'd be better off trying to find someone that can win some of the Republican vote. Trying to find someone that isn't so far left that it ain't funny, you know. But they're not going to in some cases. So, I'm praying for the country. I don't think this is the end of the world and the end of the country. Some people have that, you know, basically said that this could be a true sign of the start of Armageddon, but if that was the case, then we would have somebody who was so charismatic that no, that everybody liked him. So the way I look at it is, if you find somebody that everybody 100% likes and nobody can say anything bad about, that's when you need to get worried. Talk to you later.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. I think it's just the opposite. I think that Armageddon was just around the corner. I think that that could have been our future, our immediate future. It could have been, you know, now it's probably going to happen sooner or later. It's probably going to happen, but it doesn't have to happen. That's the whole point. If you go back to the Adam and Eve story, you know, it clearly says, you know, that, you know, Adam did this and Adam did that, and, you know, and this, you know, he sinned, and then he made the excuse and he got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam and Eve got kicked out, you know, and by the sweat of your brow you shall work, you know, eat or whatever, or work. And, but it also says that if Adam had obeyed, if he had obeyed his intuition, all of that consequence would have been averted, but he didn't. So our futures are not fixed. We like to, you know, some people want to think that it's all just pre-programmed. History is all sort of pre-programmed, and, you know, we're just sort of pawns living out pre-programming. I don't believe that for a minute. Now, it can be that way. You can be a pawn. You want to be a pawn and kind of lived a pre-programmed sick existence, you know, kind of, you know, from bad to worse, go ahead and, you know, we're kind of born into that. It's, you know, it's called sin. It's called being a slave and kind of going from bad to worse. But I think that, you know, we as human beings, we can, at least individually and maybe even collectively, if, you know, we do have the opportunity to change our destiny. I really do believe that. And I think that the election of Donald Trump, as I said in a previous podcast, I think that's probably the most remarkable thing that has ever happened in any of our lives. Any of us that are alive right now, something very remarkable happened, because I think World War III was just, it was put off. It was just averted because it was imminent. Had Hillary won, World War III was right around the corner. And I think at this point that has been at least temporarily averted. Yeah, so these people, you know, and as far as turn the news media off, if they keep showing all of these stupid paid protesters, and, you know, the ringleaders are being paid by George Soros to ringlead, and then you have all of the, you know, you have enough stupid people that are sort of disaffected youth that have no, you know, that maybe they have a mom and no dad, and they all kind of end up in some hellhole like Portland, Oregon. And so those are the types of people that you see, immature people that you see on the television, you know, when they do these stupid protests. You know, and a lot of them, over 50% of them didn't even vote. And they're basing that on the ones that were arrested, taken into custody. They're just troublemakers. So this is all, you know, these protests are all sort of fake. Then you have the other people, the sheep that just kind of join in, the sick sheep. Want some zombies? There you go. That's what they are. They're, you know, they're, some of them are paid protesters, but the rest of them are just zombies. But see, the thing is, they think that they're intelligent human beings. They're not. They're just emotionalized, dysfunctionalized zombies. Throwing their little, you know, two-year-old emotional level temper tantrums. So that's, it's going to run out of steam. I think that sooner or later, they're running on the wrong energy, and that's just going to fizzle. But turn off the stupid TVs. You know, turn off the media. They're not, don't fall for the trap that now I can watch it because the election's over. Maybe they won't be quite as biased. They're going to be as biased as ever against Trump. They're going to do whatever they possibly can to destroy him. They hate his guts. And they hate your guts, too. They hate my guts. How dare we vote for someone like Donald Trump? How dare we turn our back on beautiful Hillary? Who was obviously the superior choice. Why, we're just a bunch of country bumpkins. We're deplorables. A basket of deplorables. So, but I really do think that World War III was just averted. We've all kind of been given a, possibly we've been granted a reprieve. But I do think that the, you know, their energy is going to fizzle. And especially if you just, you know, turn your television off, turn off the news. It's propaganda. Shut it off. These people are just, they're foolish. They're idiots. You know, how much attention do you pay to your two-year-old's temper tantrum? Do you take that seriously? When someone's throwing a, when a two-year-old is throwing a temper tantrum, do you take the temper tantrum seriously? I don't think so. And if you do, you're a poor parent, in my opinion. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. Hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.